Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Well, this last week we had the opportunity of traveling to Plymouth, Massachusetts. And that is where the Pilgrims landed 398 years ago. In fact, in 2 years, in 2020, will be the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims landing at Plymouth, Massachusetts. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about our organization, log on to our website at ohioca.org. Well, of course, as we were traveling in Massachusetts, we also went down Freedom Trail in Boston and looking at, of course, the revolutionary historical sites with our good friend Richard Holland, who's been giving those tours for 40 years. He personally has a wonderful Christian testimony. He actually spent some time here in Chillicothe, Ohio, years ago. He was actually imprisoned. He actually was a troubled youth. He was in some trouble. He was imprisoned for grand larceny and was imprisoned in Chillicothe, Ohio. He told us his whole testimony over dinner on Saturday night. We really enjoyed hearing how the Lord had radically saved and changed his life. And so for the last 40 years, he's been in Christian study, and he's also been learning about our American history. He's been taking folks on this tour around Boston for years now, and we had an opportunity to really travel into some back streets of Boston to see some of the markers that aren't on the Freedom Trail proper, but are certainly historical sites and of great interest. We're going to be going back to Plymouth and to Boston, and we'll tell you about that in a future program, how we'll be able to go as a group. Also, of course, we were with Paul Jaley, who is the pastor of the New Testament Church in Plymouth, and he is a historian, and they do reenactments of the Pilgrims, actually, their prayer gatherings and their assembly, and we were part of that this last week as well. We'll tell you all about that on a future program, as we'll have Bill Federer back on the program, along with Pastor Paul Jaley, the historian, talking about our American Christian founding in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and how they're retaining our godly Christian heritage there in Plymouth. Well, this last week, big news here in Ohio, of course, is the nation was looking at the 12th Congressional District. Yeah, that's right, a special election was held on Tuesday, and it was a very nail-biter, tight race between the Democrat, Danny O'Connor, and State Senator Troy Boulderson going for the open seat of the 12th Congressional District. And with us on the phone is State Representative Andy Brenner, who lives in Delaware County, right in the middle of the 12th Congressional District, and we're going to break it down point for point. Andy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Chris, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, last night was a lot of drama, obviously, as this thing was nip and tuck all the way through. In fact, Mr. O'Connor, the Democrat, because of the early voting, actually it was a 60-40 margin in his favor early in the going last night, but things seemed to level off, although there was a back and forth as to who was leading when you're looking at the Secretary of State's website and the returns of the various counties that were reporting the vote. Let's talk about that for a minute. Your thoughts about last night and how it unfolded.
Well, the just to say this, I mean, there's this isn't horseshoes. This is you either win or you lose. Balderson won. So this was a huge win. You got to remember, this district barely comes open. I mean, it's been averaging about once every 20 years. So this was a huge retention of the district. And go on to win this in November now. The Democrats, I believe, they threw everything, including the kitchen sink, at this particular race. And I think they did it because it was a special election, number one. But number two, because I think they knew that from the standpoint of if they're going to win and win this in November, they had to win yesterday. And they didn't. So what you saw in those early absentees, the votes that were out there, the Dems really worked hard, and they always seem to get a lot of the absentees in before the Republicans do, and that's just the way it's been. I think they worked extra hard this time to try to do that. But as you saw, the Election Day turnout, that last week, the Republican, especially the conservatives, became energized, realized that we had an election. I think a lot of our base didn't realize it was a special election. I know when I spoke to a lot of people, they were thinking November, because you got to remember, this was a primary that we had back in May, and I think a lot of people thought, well, that's a primary for the November election. So I think dynamically, a lot of Republicans really weren't thinking of that, but the Democrats, knowing desperately that they needed to try to pick up a seat to call this blue wave a blue wave, did everything they could, and they fell short. And the Republican, Balderson, won. Huge win, and I think a lot of that has to do with a lot of the grassroots and the people. Pence came in, Trump came in on Saturday, had a great rally, and it was hot in that building, I know, because I was in the building, and had crowds that turned out, overflowing crowds, and they ended up voting on Tuesday. And a lot of them weren't even aware up until about Election Day, when Trump or when Pence came in. And I think that, you know, that turned on the light bulbs for everybody. And so that's why we ended up winning it in the end.
The Ohio Christian Alliance, our organization, of course, produced a voter guide. We surveyed the candidates. We surveyed both Mr. O'Connor and Mr. Balderson. Mr. O'Connor, we did not receive a survey back. He went down as a no response on the survey questions. Mr. Balderson, to his credit, stepped up to the plate, filled out the entire 7-page survey. We do then publish 12 of the questions that are pertaining to the times in which people are interested in the issues. And we had distribution of these in the churches from Muskingum County over in Zanesville all the way up to Mansfield and places in between. Parts of Richland County, Morrow, Delaware, Licking, Franklin, and Muskingum County make up the 12th congressional district, and the Ohio Christian Alliance distributed upwards of 15,000 voter guides. We had print voter guides. We had online access to the voter guide. We did run some radio ads to let people know that there was a special election on several radio stations there in the Columbus area. Those who are listening to these stations right now heard the announcement of the 12th by the Ohio Christian Alliance. So we were encouraged that people of faith did get out and vote. In fact, one church downloaded our voter guide off the internet, printed 1,700 of the voter guides for their congregation last Sunday, full color, and made it available. And then that same church is a election polling center. And I called yesterday to ask about if the voter guide was distributed. They told me the information. They also said, hey, we are also a polling location with 6 precincts, and it's been busy all day long. Now, that's in Delaware County. That's your county, Representative. And so, obviously, Delaware County was the difference maker last night. Let's talk about that. Your thoughts.
Yes, it was. In fact, Delaware County is it's been a Republican county for as long as I've been alive. We've had a lot of growth in the county, though, and I think this is part of the discussion that's been going on, is just reaching all the new voters. We have so many new voters that have poured into the county in just even the last 8 months or a year. I mean, we're gaining 5,000 people about every 6 months or so. So it takes a lot of effort to reach out to those voters. And unfortunately,
I didn't really think about that myself, because you do have one of the fastest growing counties in the country. I think between you and a county north of Atlanta are one of the few fastest growing counties in the country. So you have a lot of new people moving into Delaware County. I know that housing rates there are skyrocketing. And so it is a preferred area to live in north of Columbus. And I didn't even think about that myself, of how many new voters had just come into the district. How were you able then to reach those voters, letting them know, one, to register them? We're talking about in the last 6 months, people that had just gotten there, to register them to vote, and then to get out to the polls. What was the effort that was done there for that?
Well, I know in our case, our county party goes out, our precinct committee members go, they round up people, we go out on door-to-door a lot of time on Saturdays. We just knock on doors, and we take a look at the new voter list, or the voters who have just been registered. I will tell you this, even in the primary back in May, I think there were like 4,800 new registrations in Delaware County from December to May of this year. And that's just because of the sheer growth. So it's just a major outreach effort. We're going to be doing the same thing this fall. And it's something that we have to continue to ongoing process in order to make sure that we're reaching out to them, make sure that they, you know who our elected officials are. In Delaware County, every single elected office is Republican because we've done a great job managing it. I think that everything has run very well in Delaware County, but we've had growth problems as well with roads. We need more roads and infrastructure because it's a major problem there. And we've got major developments coming in, major projects, and that brings a lot more people. You've got the Tanger Outlet Mall at 3637 and Sunbury at I-71. Well, they're now putting in something called the Oasis, which is going to be about $2 billion worth of infrastructure, and there's going to be a need over the next 5 to 10 years of 15,000 new jobs. So this is a lot of people, and that does make some demographic changes a little bit. But for the most part, it's still a heavily Republican district. And, but it's just a matter of reaching those new voters and getting out and reminding them, hey, we had a special election. This was a special election. It's not normal that you have a congressional seat and then a special election. And in a county that is traditionally Republican, I think that early on, right after the primary, it was a very grueling primary. You got to remember, Troy Balderson won the primary, I think, by fewer votes than he won yesterday's election.
Well, that's right. There was only 500 votes difference between Melanie Lanahan, who was basically the Tea Party favorite, the Freedom Caucus favorite, going up against Troy Balderson, more of an established Republican. He is conservative in his voting record and in his score. But Melanie Lanahan and he only separated each other by 500 votes. So there were some concerns going into the special election that there's still some bruised feelings from the primary just a few months ago that there would be some people sitting out. That may have indeed happened. That's why the vote margin between the Democrat and the Republican was thin, but also the Democrat outspent the Republican by a margin of 2-1. So lots of money, PAC money poured in this district. I got reports that Columbus TV was wall-to-wall with Danny O'Connor commercials. Certainly Franklin County, early voting came out for him. The Democrats really wanted this election, but in the end, Troy Balderson won by 1,754 votes. As it stands today, they're saying, according to one report in the Dispatch, 8,000 votes out by provisional and or military ballots, absentees. I don't know where they're getting that number so high because absentees are counted first.
The number... Chris, the number I heard is closer to 3,700. I talked to some professionals today. Delaware County has 1,000 provisionals out, and I think it's a total of around 3,700. There are absentees, but that was the other thing. I would guess most of those absentees were Republican to begin with because we did not send out our absentee request form until about 2 weeks before the election. Had those gone out 2 weeks earlier, I think you would have seen different numbers. Even in the absentee. So I think that those ballots that are outstanding are probably actually in favor of Balderson more so than O'Connor.
So again, these two have to face off again in November. Mr. Balderson, if he, after the votes are, final votes are cast, he will be sworn in. He will be casting votes in Congress the next several months up until January as he is the replacement for Pat Teaberry. So he, regardless of what happens in November, he will be there until January. If he wins in November, of course, he'll have to be sworn in again, I think. But all that's very interesting, and our folks were aware. Faith value voters got out throughout the districts, churches, thanks to the pastors who passed out the voter guide. And again, Mr. Balderson did win the special election in the 12th Congressional District. Representative, let's turn a page here now and talk about another breaking issue, breaking news that came out today, and that's the State Supreme Court of Ohio handed down its ECOT decision. And it is a shocker because this is basically the state's Board of Education made retroactive law on ECOT. That was their claim, and it, in all intents and purposes, in reality, was. They changed the rules in the middle of the school year, held them in account, and then backcharged them monies they said they were owed because of login rates for the schools. as students. And then, of course, what has happened now is the state Supreme Court has weighed in. A very curious political drama that played out here on the state Supreme Court. In fact, I think it's a little political, in my opinion, of when they dropped this the day after the special election that got national attention. They were looking for a window of time to drop this decision. I don't think they're very proud of it, and I don't think they should be. Not, this isn't about so much Bill Lager and ECOT as much as it is setting precedents in state law of retroactive law. You cannot go to bed one day being a law-abiding, wake up the next, somebody changes the law, and then you're on the wrong side of the law. This is an alarm to everybody in Ohio, whether you're in business, whether you're a supporter of the Second Amendment, religious freedom. This is, sets a bad precedent. This, according to the attorneys, and we're going to get into it more in depth, of this decision by the state Supreme Court, because we're going to have legal opinions weighing in on this. Lots of recusal here, meaning you had Pat DeWine, who is the son of Mike DeWine. He had made his positions known on ECOT, so Pat recused himself. He serves on the state Supreme Court. Another member of the state Supreme Court recused herself. Her replacement then voted with the majority, which was Maureen O'Connor, Chief Justice O'Connor, Patrick Fisher, Mary DeGennaro, and Judge W. Scott, who sat in the open seat because of the recusal, and that's what gave the 4-2 decision. Your thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts are, I read both the majority opinion and the dissenting opinion on it. It would appear as though the dissenting opinion is of long, your line of thought is that they wrote law and made it retroactive and that they didn't have the authority to do so. The majority opinion on it says that the rule had already been in place. They just didn't enforce it for 6 years. And that leads to the question is, to me, what happened under the administrative rules where they're just allowed to not ask for this stuff for, 6 years in a row? Because I guess the rule, at least the majority opinion was that these rules were allegedly written in 2010. But they just didn't enforce it up until 2016 and then said, okay, you have to comply to the middle of the school year. So I think legislatively, we're going to have to take a look at that and make sure that, if this were to occur again, that it is clear that they're going to enforce it from day one in the school year or any government agency that, that they're going to actually enforce the rules that are on the books and continue to do it in an even-handed manner. And I think that's something that we can do and fix. And I know that we're actually already working on some stuff for the full-time equivalent. That was actually put into Senate Bill 216 to make sure that we actually investigate and say, okay, what should be considered a full-time equivalent student? How do you measure that, especially for online learning? I mean, I'm actually a student at Liberty University, and I'm taking their online class. And in the case of Liberty University, you don't do any of the coursework online. I mean, you might, if they have like a quiz, take that online. But you do all the work, at home. You have to read books. You have to do a lot of stuff offline, and then you upload it. And so, online learning is a different environment entirely than even a blended learning or an in-class situation. So I think this is something that the General Assembly will take up. But to me, this is about the kids. This is about the students and making sure that they're treated properly. And I think going forward, we need to make sure that this doesn't happen again. We cannot have a major school closed in the middle of the school year and then displace, in this case, 12,000 students. So that's something that we're going to be working on for the next General Assembly and even this General Assembly, starting to do the legwork on so that, we're ready to go and that this doesn't happen again.
Well, see, that's exactly right. That's why we weighed in back in January with you and Representative Andy Thompson and other legislators. In fact, State Representative Robert Sprague said in his hometown of Findlay, there was a similar situation where there was an online school that was actually sponsored by the public school system of his community. They found themselves out of compliance with the login rates because they had made it retroactive in the middle of the school year. See, I think that's the bigger issue here, and I understand you serve on the state school board. You've been doing a stellar job on that. You've been pointing out the problems and the challenges here and actually the mismanagement of the state superintendent and the state school board as to how they handled it. Not all of them, of course. There were dissenters on that, state school board member Sarah Fowler and Lisa Woods, among some who were talking about this along with you, that we have a problem here and you just can't be jerking these kids around. And of course, the closure, was the forced closure in January, was just unthinkable and really unforgivable what they did to those kids. And, you know, the lost ECOT kids, and they're still tracking them down. I've been talking to other reporters and those who have been doing some interviews with some of the parents and students and to what happened to some of these kids. Did they get into other schools? And there still is a lack of accountability. I know that you've been pursuing that as well, and you're not done with that as to finding out what happened with the mid-school closure of the ECOT students, who was transferred in, and they can't give you an accounting of these students even today. But again, it's two separate standards, one for public education, which has no accountability, and then online schools, charter schools, and I'm dare I say, homeschools. So if you're a homeschooler out there, this case should be of a concern to you, and I know that homeschoolers did weigh in, Representative, because they saw that the way that the Liberal Teachers Association was driving this to really drive ECOT out of business, charter schools, their next target in there is homeschool, because, you know, if a parent finds themselves out of compliance with their reporting of their student at home, you can find yourself similarly in the same situation. In fact, I talked to pastors who used ECOT. They were homeschoolers, and they used the online school. So they are homeschoolers, online schools, and ECOT students. So there's great concern here, and then we're going to have the legal opinion now weigh in. See, the Columbus Dispatch and had it all its ulterior motive. By the way, Columbus Dispatch is not impartial, folks. They have a funding of state school pensions as part of the ownership of Columbus Dispatch. I mean, Andy, that's what's maddening here. You have the political drama that's being played out here. Instead of just calling it, that's why John Adams said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people, wholly inadequate for the governance of any other. If you don't have that clear thinking of right and wrong and the law, we really have a mess here. And in my opinion, that's what we have in front of us. Your thoughts?
I agree with you. I think, and we as a General Assembly are going to have to step in, make some law changes to make it perfectly clear the boundaries of the Department of Education or any department of the state of Ohio has, so that it is clear that they don't just have carte blanche ability to just write and do laws because of ambiguous language or something, or a language that's clear, at least in their opinions. We need to make sure that it's, you know, it says what we mean.
Well, State Representative Andy Brenner has been my guest. Thank you for weighing in on the 12th Congressional District special election and also, of course, on the ECOT decision. If you want to learn more, you can log on our website at ohioca.org. Representative, we're going to have you back to continue our discussions on school choice in Ohio. I know you're an advocate. We appreciate all your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Again, that's State Representative Andy Brenner, who serves just north of Columbus in the Delaware County. And we're going to continue, and we'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
And we're back, and thank you for joining us. In fact, I want to give you an announcement that on September the 9th is the Citizenship Sunday, an effort for your church to conduct a voter registration effort. And the packet is available on our website at ohioca.org. If you just go to our website or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance, you can click on the link at the top of the page, which is the Citizenship Sunday packet, which includes helpful materials, an instruction guide. It also has a voter registration form, an application for absentee ballot, and also a liaison reporting form, which is basically a request for voter guides of how many voter guides you will need for your congregation in the upcoming fall election. And these are some of the resources that the Ohio Christian Alliance provides. And again, you can find them at our website at ohioca.org or just phone 330-887-1922. Well, my wife Sylvia and I had the pleasure of attending this year's Christians United for Israel National Conference in Washington, D.C. With me on the phone is our good friend, Pastor Lyndon Allen, who is CUFI's Central Regional Coordinator. And earlier this year, I had the pleasure also of going to Israel for the first time with Pastor Lyndon and the gang, and we had a wonderful trip in Israel. We're going to give you information as well of how you can plan a trip to Israel. Pastor Allen, good to be with you.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Chris. How are you today, friend?
Good, brother. You are a busy man. I'm telling you, you're traveling the country and speaking in churches. And, of course, this Sunday, you're going to be with our pastor friend, Jason Keir, and that's in Dublin, Ohio. That's in the Columbus area. That's Sunday, this August 12th at 11 a.m. at Grace Point Sanctuary. Tell us a little bit about that.
We are so excited to bring to the Columbus, Ohio area Holocaust survivor Irving Roth. Now, this man is absolutely precious and inspiring. What he overcame is nothing short of a miracle. He survived both Auschwitz, the death camp in Poland, and then marched for 3 days and survived Buchenwald, the death march, and survived Buchenwald. And he's going to be telling his riveting story at the church. And we're so thankful for Grace Point Sanctuary and Jason and Amber Keir for opening the doors and being sensitive to the cause of Israel and the Jewish people. The greatest disappointment I have for Irving Roth right now, and this is the only one. Other than that, the man's life is just so precious and fascinating. But my greatest disappointment regarding his life is that twice in his lifetime, he has to see the resurgence of Nazi thinking and anti-Semitism being interjected in the minds and hearts of people. Twice in his lifetime we see this.
Well, that's right. Unfortunately, we do see a rise of anti-Semitism in our country and in Western Europe. Of course, in the Middle East, Israel is surrounded by enemies. Since the State of Israel was founded in 1948, There is relative peace with some of its neighbors currently, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Israel. And it was such an honor and privilege to be with you, Pastor, in Israel in March this year, and to walk the land and to be in the various places where Jesus walked, in the Sea of Galilee and in Tiberias and in the hometown of Peter, and of course going up to Jerusalem and going to the wall and to pray on Shabbat and to actually take the dinner, the Sabbath dinner in with a rabbi and his wife. What a privilege and honor that was this year, and really just solidify for me, of course, years of Bible study and reading, and the scriptures come to life. And so the trip to Israel, to the Holy Land, was everything I thought it would be and so much more.
Everyone who is in the sound of our voices and loves the Bible, loves the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you need to take a trip to Israel. It is high kingdom business. Israel is not just a geopolitical issue. Israel is not just a religious issue. Israel is a kingdom matter. You see, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the King of the universe, in Hebrew he is referred to as the Melech HaOlam. Jews pray in this manner, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Blessed are you, O Lord God, King of the universe. So Israel is a kingdom matter. And because it's a kingdom matter, therefore it's geopolitical, and therefore it is also a religious matter. And from the standpoint of biblical, it's a biblical issue. And when you as a believer get to step on the Holy Land, step into the spaces where Christ spent his ministry, like going to Capernaum and seeing where the Lord spent 80% of his ministry was in the Galilee region, and to actually see the Sea of Galilee, it turns the Bible from being a book in black and white and steps into three-dimensional color and high definition. I can only say, get your passport, brush up on those scriptures regarding Israel, and go to the land, because you will be utterly fascinated and blessed.
Absolutely. We're talking to Pastor Lyndon Allen, who is the Christian United for Israel Central Regional Coordinator. And Pastor, you're working with pastors and congregants all across the Midwest, organizing meetings for Christians United for Israel, CUFI. And of course, Pastor John Hagee started this organization. Is it been 17 years ago now?
No, it started 12 years ago.
12 years ago.
12 years ago. Yeah, 2006, and that's when he started with just 400 people.
Well, you know, it's so incredible what has come together in just those 12 years. In fact, this was our first time that we went to the National Conference in Washington. My wife and I thoroughly enjoyed it. What a great time it was to rally for the State of Israel, to be with 5,000 people from every state in the nation was represented there, including Alaska and Hawaii, came to this national conference to rally for Israel, to hear the speakers, and then to go up to Capitol Hill and to basically represent the church's interest and support for the State of Israel. It was a wonderful time, and actually a very effective time to see all these people in a very organized manner to go and to meet with their representatives and to meet with their U.S. senators and to advocate for the State of Israel and for God's people. Your thoughts?
We are so thankful that you came. And CUFI exists for one reason. We exist to stand with Israel and the Jewish people to make sure they are safe. We do not want to have on our watch what happened on the watch of the Reich Church in Germany. You know, the CUFI Summit, the Christians United for Israel Summit, took place on July 23rd, 24th. And that coincided with two calendars. Literally, our event coincided with two calendars. The Gregorian calendar, the calendar we follow, January through December, and the Hebrew calendar. It coincided with the Hebrew calendar. Let me start there first, since that's the preeminent one, because God's not following a calendar named after pagan gods and Roman emperors. I mean, July is named after Julius Caesar, and August, the month we're in, was named after Augustus Caesar. So let's start with the Hebrew calendar. The ninth of Av on the Hebrew calendar fell during our Cufi summit. What happened on the 9th of Av in Jewish history? The temple was destroyed. Solomon's temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av by the Babylonians. And Herod's temple was destroyed by the Romans on the same day, 600 years apart. All of the major exiles in Europe happened on or around the 9th of Av. The French, they exiled the Jews around the 9th of Av. The British, they exiled their Jews on the 9th of Av. And, of course, the Spanish with the Inquisition, that happened on the 9th of Av. Here's another thing that happened on the 9th of Av. In the 20th century, Heinrich Himmler got his formal approved papers to commence the final solution on the 9th of Av.
Mm.
Now, here's Cufi. Here's Cufi in the 21st century doing the polar opposite of what all of those things represented. We stood for the Jews. We stand for Israel and the Jewish people.
Yes.
That's on the Hebrew calendar. Let's flip over to the Gregorian calendar now. July 23rd, what happened on that date? On July 23rd, 1933 in Germany, was the formal installation by vote, the formal installation of the Deutsche Evangelische Kirche, which translated means the German Evangelical Church or the Reich Church. And from 1933 to 1939, we have serious indoctrination within the church that Jews do not matter, to lead you to Kristallnacht and then ultimately to Germany invading Poland, and then 9 years later from 1933, or 8 years later, excuse me, to 1933, we have the commencing of the final solution. And again, July 23rd of this year, Cufi launched its D.C. summit to do, again, the polar opposite of what the Reich Church represented. We, in the United States of America, we stand vehemently against anti-Semitism and resist doing anything familiar to the Reich Church. We're the polar opposite, and that's the strength of Cufi, and God created us for such a time as this. And you were a part of it, Chris.
It was our honor and privilege to be there and to be with fellow Ohioans as we went and met with our representatives to talk with either the members themselves. We had some great engagement there, and or talk to their staff at length about the issues before Israel currently. There were legislative items that we were addressing with the members of
right,
Congress.
Right, that's the purpose.
Bills that
that's the purpose
are
of Cufi.
Currently under consideration. And so what a great opportunity to see all the folks from Christians United for Israel working Capitol Hill, you know, mm-hmm. during the conference. And having a great impact. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sense, and look, I this is the work I do. As you know, we do pro-life, pro-family, support Israel, religious liberty issues. And
I'm with you, brother. This is
a big deal to have this many people come up to Capitol Hill. They are noticed. They are supported. And we can get back from our surveys mm-hmm. that we present in a voter guide the responses by these candidates, then they just basically say, yes, we're with the state of Israel. We are for the move of the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. We stand with the state of Israel. And so this is what's so important, that they know that their constituents, that this is an important issue for them. And that's why we broke it up by
Excellent.
Folks as to who your representative was. So it's very, very good. And folks, if you'd like more information about Cufi, just go to www.cufi.org, and you can learn about next year's conference. Of course, also, I'm looking at it online, which is great. They have it so well organized, Lyndon. I'm looking at the Sunday, August 12th event in Dublin, Ohio, again, with Pastor Jason and Amber Keir, that you'll be there with Holocaust survivor Irving Roth. I did get the opportunity to hear him at the conference. He's wonderful. We want to, in a future
oh, yes.
program, have him on this program to talk and to give his testimony. And, you know, it's just, this is awesome what you're doing, brother. And I know that you're encouraging pastors.
Without question. Okay, so what did Hitler try to do? He used the legislative apparatus of Germany to bring about laws that were detrimental to Jews. We, at CUFI seek to move the legislative needle in D.C., and we're doing it. Let me give you a few things that we've done since 2016. The Iran nuclear deal, we have withdrawn from that. Why?
Yes.
Because Donald Trump needed counsel on the matter, and he came to CUFI. We gave it, and you know the result. We have withdrawn. The snapback issues of sanctions have hit. As of the last day or so, the snapback sanctions to Iran have hit. And I can talk about that in a bit more detail in a few moments. So the Iran nuclear deal withdrawal, we were responsible for that. When it came to the confirmation of Ambassador Friedman, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, we lobbied the Hill on 2017 of January and encouraged our senators and congressmen to confirm, mainly in the Senate, to confirm Ambassador Friedman. And did he get confirmed? Yes, he did. Pompeo, our current Secretary of State, his confirmation, we were behind that as well. We inundated the Senate with a plethora of email from our over 4 million members. And then when it came to moving the embassy and recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, Donald Trump sought an audience with Pastor Hagee, our founder, and the two of them met for 2 hours. And during that meeting, Pastor Hagee laid the case for Jerusalem as the capital, laid the case for moving the U.S. embassy and not putting Israel in the position of not being able to determine their own capital. Every other nation wherein we have a U.S. embassy, that embassy is in that nation's capital, except
yes.
for Israel until December 6, 2017, when it was recognized that Jerusalem is the capital. And then on May 14th of this glorious year, we officially moved our embassy to Jerusalem. And CUFI had great association to all of those things within the last 2 years. And there's more to come. I mentioned the Iran nuclear deal. Those sanctions need to continue to be in place. And here's the importance of that. We need them in place because Iran is an international nation, the largest state sponsor of terrorism around the world. The Ayatollahs are demagogues seeking not only the destruction of Israel, but they declare destruction for us. Here are some particulars regarding the Iran sanctions. And your listeners come to this program to hear information, to make them astute individuals when it comes to articulating the issues during the water cooler conversation. So here they are. The Iran nuclear sanctions, or the Iran sanctions regarding the nuclear deal, have to deal with the following. The weakening of the rial. We want to weaken their currency so that their markets are not strong. We don't want them to trade with gold, silver, or diamonds either. So if your currency doesn't work, they're going to go to what has been working for the last 5,000 years, which is gold, silver, and diamonds. You can't trade in that anymore, Iran, nor can you purchase from anyone who wants to do business with the United States of America. If you are found selling industrial materials to Iran, like steel, coal, or what have you, you can't do business with us. You can't lend money to Iran. If you're a nation or a bank, you want to do business with Iran and lend them money, you cannot do business with us. So we've got a chokehold on the IMF in that regard. Can't do business with Iran. So those are the things that are in place. So when you hear Iran sanctions, those are the things that are being talked about. Weakening the rial, not trading in gold, silver, or diamonds, no selling to them industrial materials, and no giving them loans or having them have any opportunity in those areas as well. So CUFI has been greatly behind that. And not only that, as you know, UNRWA, those are some of the legislative things that we've discussed as well. Making
sure
that... We're
going to get to that, and just a real quick, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Pastor Lyndon Allen, who is CUFI's Central Regional Coordinator, and we're going to talk about an event coming up on Sunday, August 12th in Dublin, Ohio, that you could participate and visit. But also we're going to talk about the legislative items that were addressed on Capitol Hill at this year's National CUFI Conference. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back with Pastor Lyndon Allen, who is CUFI's Central Regional Coordinator. And this year at the Christians United for Israel National Conference in Washington last month in July, 5,000 attendees took the opportunity to go to Capitol Hill and meet with their representatives advocating for the State of Israel. Those of you that listen to our program, you know that we have HCR 10 here in Ohio, which is legislation, a resolution to support the State of Israel and to speak out against anti-Semitism through the BDS movement. But, Pastor, there were specific legislative efforts on Capitol Hill this year. In fact, bills that were just being dropped that week and under consideration. Let's break it down. One of them has to do with the Palestinian refugee situation as far as the way in which it's defined by the United Nations. And it's unique and actually different than any other way in which the United Nations recognizes and processes or deals with refugees. And I was not aware of this, but became aware of it this last year. And now you begin to understand how it is being, you know, by some of the member states of the United Nations, which are Muslim states, how they are using Palestinians as actually pawn in a bigger game. Let's talk about that one, about the refugee status of Palestinians, how it is, for all intents and purposes, you know, just an ongoing situation that never diminishes.
It's insidious because it's an actual ridiculous procedure. It's the United Nations Relief and Works Act or Relief and Works Agency, and what they seek to do is to perpetuate refugee status into multiple generations, starting with when legally the UN Resolution 181 launched the nation of Israel. And when the British mandate ended in May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. They were willing to just live within the borders they were given, willing to. But five nations attacked them immediately and claimed that the individuals who were living there, the Palestinians who were living there, were displaced. And some of them were told to leave because the nations that attacked them, the Arab nations that attacked Israel, said, you're not going to be safe there, so hang out here. We will get you back in once we move the Jews out. Well, obviously, the Jews never lost because God is fighting for his ancient people. And so they did not lose. But did the refugees who were told to leave come back? Well, no, they didn't. They kept them in that refugee status to declare to the world, see, they were displaced, and now they don't have their land anymore. Well, wait a minute. This land was deeded first and foremost by God to Abraham, and then through a legal international body called the UN and said, here, you can have this much. But the Arab nations attacked and took the people out and then kept them out and then made sure through the UN again, the sad side of the UN, that the descendants of the original individuals who were pulled out by the Arabs themselves, their descendants can maintain that refugee status and thereby be recipients of financing and funding through the United Nations Refugee Works Agency. So our plan, introduced to the Senate, and we're getting co-sponsors, was to not harm individuals who are getting money now, but to make sure going forward, we adjust this refugee status issue to sensible measures, meaning If you're a first-generation refugee, okay, you get assistance. But after that, if you're in a new land and your children are there, there are people who are third, fourth generations who have never been to Israel, never been there. So this money, this new pending legislation does not harm current status of refugees, but looks to the future to make sure that there are sensible measures in place so that we don't have a perpetuation. I mean, right now we're looking at 5 million people in refugee status, and most of whom have never even been to Israel.
Well, this is what
listeners
to this program are aware of the crisis in northern Iraq with the Christians, with the ISIS army invading, and then there were refugees or displaced persons going into Kurdish territories, and Syrian Christians also fleeing ISIS. These were refugees in the Kurdish territories, and I asked for, this is back in 2014, 3.5 million refugees were being housed by the Kurds in Kurdish territory in northern Iraq. That number has decreased, and this is what normally happens in refugee status across the world, where there's a war, where there's instability in a region. There are refugees or people on the move or displaced individuals. So when the humanitarian aid comes in, eventually these people move on with their lives. They either go back home,
correct,
and things have settled down, or they move on. They go to either United States,
exactly,
or Western Europe. But the Palestinians are basically refugees in perpetuity. They just continue. So it's like now there's 5 million. It's like, wait, why is the number growing? And that's why we say that they're being used as pawns in a bigger game. In fact,
correct,
people have moved on with their lives, but then they just keep using it as a thorn in the side of Israel. And this is why it has to be addressed, and that we're funding it with our tax money through the UN, and that's what has to be addressed. Well, Pastor, we've run out of time, and what a blessing it is to have you on the program again, Pastor Lyndon Allen. And how can they reach you, Pastor?
Thank
Give
you,
us
sir.
A website.
Oh, CUFI.org. That's Christians United for Israel.org. CUFI. Go there, get all the information you need, and make sure you come to Dublin, Ohio, to our event. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless. Grace Point Church, 11 o'clock this Sunday, August 12th. God bless. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.